Now, everyone has a family, don't they? Everyone has a family. Young, old, married, single, male, female. Every one of us is involved in some kind of family. That means that the book of Proverbs has something to say to you. God wants families to work well, and so he's given us advice on how they worked best. Today we're looking at family and Proverbs, Proverbs and family. It's a sort of a topical sermon that I've been asked to do in a couple of weeks, and so I thought I'd bring it to you guys first, and we'll see how we go. Now, we're bound to have, all of us are bound to have different experiences as a family. You have the newly married season, you have the kids, the having kids season, the not having kids season, the different stages as kids grow up from toddlers to teenagers and all those stages in between, and then them leaving home to then start that cycle all over again. Now, I've been a child, a grandchild, a husband and a father, and I can tell you there have been many different phases to my life. Some of the things I've experienced are my own experiences. I grew up with a very sick sister, which meant that much of my childhood was spent in hospitals. But that's not all, because at the age of 8, I became an uncle, closer in age to my nephew than my brother. And then my brother became a great-grandfather at 60. You can imagine what that means. And there's more I could share about my family. And if we went around the room, many of us would also have some things to share, and some of you here today have experienced things that I've never experienced. I've never lost a child. Infertility is something I've never had to deal with. My wife is still alive. I've not been divorced. And I imagine that there are many other things that are unique to your situation. I don't know what that was. Oh, with the projector. Okay. I guess that went poof. Okay, that's fine. It'll hopefully turn itself off. The idea is that there's so many different, we're all brought up in a very unique situation, aren't we? And so as we come to today to look at the topic of family in Proverbs, I'm hoping you can listen to what Proverbs is saying to you and your unique situation. What we're looking at today is the family in Proverbs. And as I started, everyone is involved in some kind of family. Now, as we begin, it would be really easy to look at how we can relate to our families and gain some wisdom on how to do that better. But Proverbs isn't just a book about how to live well today. Proverbs is a book that helps us actually see Jesus more clearly. We touched on this a little bit last week. And maybe even see Jesus in a new way. And that's why I'm going to start this sermon off by on Proverbs and family by turning to Proverbs 9:10. And Proverbs 9:10 says, well, you can't see it now, can you? It's all on the screen behind you. But you'll have to look these up. I'm sorry, there's lots of, if you want to look at the back there up there, it says there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's, you can leave your Bibles in that spot. I'll read out the other verses. And you might want to flick backwards and forwards, but keep something in Proverbs 9:10, because we're going to keep coming back there. See, the place of wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And now this is a reverent, this fear is a reverent fear, a fear that helps us to submit to the Lord with a profound respect. It's about coming to the Lord knowing that he is God and you are not. It's recognizing that you're small and totally dependent on the God of all creation. See, the place of fear, of reverence, is this, is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom doesn't begin with thinking how great you are. It doesn't begin with our rejection of God. It comes with submission to the Lord Jesus. coming to the Lord with a deep sense of humility, recognizing that you're unable to save yourself from anything, and therefore you're actually totally dependent on the Lord. You have a holy reverence for the Lord. And Proverbs 9:10 says that is where wisdom begins, where wise living begins. It's the starting place for a healthy relationship with God. And it's the where we begin to be part of the family of God, isn't it? And today, as we look at Proverbs and family, we're going to look at all sorts of verses that help us see how to live. But it begins in Proverbs 9:10. In a relationship with God, in submission to the Lord Jesus. I met a guy recently. He was telling me about his kids. After a lot of talking, I said to him, "How many kids do you have?" He said, "That's a good question." He could see I was confused because he kept talking about all these kids. He said, "We've got 3 biological kids and we've got 3 adopted kids. 6 kids." And it was great to hear that all these kids were adopted and hear how they came to be part of his family. They originally wanted one, and then there was a brother, and then they found there was another sibling, and so they all came. Imagine that. It was so great to hear how all these people were brought into his family and he saw them as his kids. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you have put your trust in Jesus, then you have been adopted into his family. You now are his. You belong to him, just like these kids. The question then is, are you in a relationship with Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Because if wisdom begins at the feet of Jesus, in submission to Jesus, and if we're not in a relationship with Jesus, well then the rest of Proverbs will only help to make you feel guilty. Because you're not going to be able to live up to all that God wants you to be. But as people who belong to Jesus, where our fear of the Lord begins as we submit to him, Proverbs then is a way to express what Jesus has already achieved through his death and resurrection. He's brought you into his family, and because you sit in the family, therefore we do what we can to reflect the person that Jesus has already made us to be. Now, I do have an image for this. You might want to swing your head around and have a look at it. Because this is... And here we go. Sorry? It's in the bulletin as well. Sorry, I forgot about that one. You can look at it in the bulletin. Thank you. Now, I've got... What we see here is that everyone in the family, men, women, children, all people, according to Proverbs, are totally dependent on the Lord Jesus. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, this fear of the Lord impacts all our relationships. And the message from Proverbs is continue going to the Lord. Continue going to the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, this is a famous passage. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight." And so now we've established that the right order of our vertical relationship with the Lord, we can now look at our horizontal relationship with each other. And I want to turn to each of these groups of people that you see here and show how we can relate to each other. Now, I started with men. A real man, according to Proverbs, is a man who loves Jesus. And again, as we come into talking about men, let's remind ourselves of Proverbs 9:10. What does it say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, this is the starting place for all of us. And I'm going to make it very clear that vertical relationship with Jesus enables us to now relate well to each other. The horizontal. And it begins with listening to and loving Jesus. Proverbs 13:13 says, "The one who has contempt for instruction will pay the penalty, but the one who respects a command will be rewarded." A real man loves Jesus and his word. That's the first thing we see here. Ignoring the Bible and its instruction will lead to penalty for sin. But listening to Jesus, submitting to him, submitting to his word, that leads to eternal life. That's what we see here. And this is why Jesus came to earth, isn't it? To cover over our rebellion. If we continue to rebel, even in our forgiveness, however, trusting in Jesus does cover over all our sins. And therefore we listen to and learn from his word to help us in all areas of our life. Now, one of those areas for a man would be with his wife. A real man loves his wife, doesn't he? As we look at Proverbs, we see that there's great instruction from marriage. You might want to look at this later, men. Proverbs chapter 5, 15 to 20. Let me read that for you. Why don't you turn there, because I think that'll be easier for us. Proverbs 5, 15 to 20. And it says there, drink water from your own cistern, flowing from your own well. Should your springs flow in the streets, streams in the public squares, they should be for you alone and not for you to share with strangers. Let your fountain be blessed and take pleasure in the wife of your youth. A loving deer, a graceful doe, let her breasts always satisfy you. Be lost in her love forever. Why, my son, would you lose yourself with a forbidden woman or embrace a wayward woman? It's a great passage, isn't it? It tells us that faithfulness is the mark of a man who follows Jesus. Staying true to your wife, loving her like the first day you met her, enjoying her and not going elsewhere for pleasure. It's very clear in this section that men are to love their wives. You are to remain faithful to your wives. Now, we don't share ourselves with others. Now, this is quite different to a world that cries out, try before you buy, that lifts up those who sleep around, that promotes pornography as fun. Sex for many people today is not something to be saved, but something to be exploited, isn't it? But Proverbs tells us that the opposite is best. Proverbs is saying, don't go elsewhere for satisfaction. Be satisfied with the woman who is your wife. The next thing that we see the Proverbs says for men is to love your children. Now, this comes in a different form. It comes here in the form of discipline. Solomon is writing to his son. He says, the one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him gently. And not harsh discipline, not forgetting to discipline, but diligent discipline shows that you love your children. And the role of the father to his children is one of instruction, as we see here. There's loads of Proverbs that Solomon wrote to his son about listening to your parents. Proverbs 1:8 is an example. It says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. Now, it's implicit that fathers will teach their children and mothers. They will be instructors imparting knowledge to their children, telling them how best to live in God's world. And as parents, we show our kids what hard work is, how to live your life following Jesus. Proverbs 12:11 tells us that working hard is part of God's plan for us, and maybe that's what we need to teach our kids. The one who works his land will have plenty of food, but whoever chases fantasies lacks sense. Loving your children means showing them how to live in this world and put their hands to good use. Paul also wrote to Timothy about this, actually. In 1 Timothy 5:8, he says, but if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. There's a serious message to be hardworking and provide for your family. And that's where the teaching of our children comes in. It's a good thing to do. Now, of course, there are plenty of... these are just a few things for men. There's plenty more that we could go to. And what we see today is that men are to love the Lord, love your wife, love your children. And we've seen a few ways to do this. Now, for the man who trusts in Jesus, this is the way to live. In trusting each of these areas of our lives to the Lord, asking him to help us live wholeheartedly for him. You can see on the screen behind you, actually, I've got that as an image, connecting the little circles. You might want to draw them into your little picture. As we work towards that relationship with each other. Now, the next group we're looking at are women. And again, not to avoid the obvious, but the first thing we need to know is the Lord Jesus. Again, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The message for women here is turn to the Lord. Know Jesus and know the Lord and make him your delight. For women, there's a great passage in Proverbs for you. It would be really good if you actually spent this week reading that passage. If you're looking at your Bibles, you might want to look there. It's chapter 31. And it's chapter 31 from chapter 10, verse 10, all the way to verse 31. There's a whole section on what a woman of God looks like. Let me pick out a few of these. Chapter 31, verse 10 says, "Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels." The good woman's a rare find, isn't it? But if you find her, she's amazing. Far more valuable than any jewel you'll ever own. Verse 15 says, "She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants." She provides for her family and for those who are caring for her family. Verses 19 and 20 say, "She extends her hands to the spinning staff and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor and she extends her hands to the needy." There's water. And again, like men, we see that the woman is busy, don't we? Working hard, putting her hands to work so that she can provide. It's written in a time where women were seeming to be caring for more things, possibly in the home. And verses 27 to 28 speaks into that culture as well. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Everyone praises the woman because she works hard for everyone in the family, doesn't she? How we work hard for the family today may look different. It's different according to our different families. There's no set way. But what we see here is that a woman is to be a woman of grace, of mercy, of kindness, continually active, wanting the best for those in her family and for those around her family. And a woman like this is a real blessing. Proverbs 18:22 says, "A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favour from the Lord." Women, you are a blessing to the men and children and others in your life. You really are. And I want to remind you that it all begins with your relationship with Jesus. All of these things are the outflow of the relationship you have with the Lord. It's because you're in the family of God that then you can care for your family. Yes, you'll have trouble. Yes, it will be difficult. Your particular situation may give you grief. But the Lord Jesus has gone before you. Even thinking about the lack of thanks for all you do makes me think of the grace of Jesus. We overlook what our women do, and we're sorry for that. You do a lot, so keep going, keep knowing the Lord, keep growing in the Lord Jesus. The last group of people we come to are children. And again, there's lots of Proverbs for children, but where do we come back to? Where do we come back to? We come back to Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For children too, they need to see their need for Jesus. Which then really just points us to men and women, doesn't it? Or parents who trust in the Lord. That's the best thing you can ever give to your children, isn't it? Believing parents. This is what Proverbs 24:3-4 says. It says, a house is built by wisdom, and it is established by understanding. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with every precious and beautiful treasure. See, wisdom builds the house. And we already know that wisdom is Jesus. Knowledge and love of Jesus is going to change everything. So fill the room with knowledge of him, and it will be a beautiful and precious home. And as the family is shaped by Jesus, then of course there is love for kids, love for each other. And Proverbs 15:16-17 says there is nothing better than a loving family. Proverbs 15:16-17 says better a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with turmoil. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened ox with hatred. Now I love ribs. But a loving family with veggies is far better than hatred and a plate full of ribs. I know it's hard to say, but it is absolutely true, isn't it? As parents are called to provide, we can lose grip on this aspect of our kids. Loving your kids and helping them to love the Lord, it's the absolute best thing you can give them. Now, why is this the case? Well, when we put it all together, a loving environment with Jesus at the center means we give our kids a centered life around Jesus and around truth. And it has everlasting consequences. It will be far more valuable than any trust or bank account you can ever give. And that's why Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son responds to his father's discipline, but a mocker doesn't listen to rebuke. So children, I hate to say it, but listen to your parents. Listen to what they've got to say to you. And when they start to speak about Jesus, listen even harder. Listen well. Ask lots of questions and get to know him, because that's where wisdom begins. So as I try and wrap up a sermon that has jumped all over Proverbs, what sort of family do you have? An 8 is enough family? A cheaper by the dozen family? A modern family? An Adams family? A Gilmore Girls family? Or do you have a Proverbs 9:10 family? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, the goal of a great family is to love the Lord Jesus. Proverbs 3:5-6 said it very well, didn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. Want a great family? Turn to Jesus. Know Jesus as the loving King that he is. Know that he has gone before you and has made it possible for you to be part of his family. So no matter what type of family you have, regardless of what you've gone through, what we're being told is, trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we can be part of your family. We pray for those who are here today who might not be part of your family, and we ask that you help them to know you and trust you. We pray that you help them to see that wise living begins in a relationship with you. We ask, Lord Jesus, to go before us, helping us in all our relationships. It's hard to be in relationship, and we need your help. We pray for marriages in this church, for family relationships, and we pray that you be the Lord in all of our relationships. Help us to work hard, not only providing, but also bringing Jesus before all whom we love. And we ask for your help in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.